Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Today's topic is how CFOs can drive down debt in their companies. We are currently discussing the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. Let's get into it. So this morning we released a blog post called It's Time for CFOs to Whip Their Company into Shape. What's that all about? Well, think a few years back. Interest rates are near zero or even negative. I know, because I have a negative mortgage on my house, which is pretty nice, but not something you can come by today for sure. Cash is free and companies have taken on significantly more debt in the decade following the financial crisis. CFOs didn't have a worry in the world as resources were abundant and investments could easily be funded. Okay, it wasn't exactly like this maybe, but you get the picture. Today it's different though. Interest rates have risen fast, albeit stabilized now. Capital markets have tightened and resources aren't as easily available. Now it's time for CFOs to spring into action. Their mountain of debt needs to be reduced and cost levels, having increased significantly during the past 2 years, need to be brought under control. Why is this important? It's because debt levels and productivity improvements, and for that matter, resource allocation, have been identified as critical levers to strategic value creation by McKinsey. Moreover, bringing down debt levels is one of the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. These levers are right down the CFO's alley, and CEOs find it natural to place the CFO at the helm of such initiatives. This week, we discuss tangible ways for CFOs to drive debt and cost levels down to free resources for important growth initiatives. And we'll discuss 10 strategies to bring down debt. After that, feel free to come up and share your own or maybe respond to some of the ones that we have highlighted. So let's start by considering these 10 strategies for bringing down debt and then discuss the importance of reallocating resources. None of these strategies are revolutionary by all means. However, it's important to size up the options and understand where the biggest improvement potential lies. So here are the 10 strategies. Number one, refinancing existing debt. So refinance high interest debt with lower interest loans, maybe not possible today, not sure. This could mean negotiating better terms with current lenders or finding new lenders offering more favorable rates. Number two, revenue increase. Implement strategies to boost sales and increase revenue. More revenue can be allocated to pay down debt faster. Number three, cost cutting. Review all expenses to identify where you can cut costs without compromising the quality of your products or services. Savings can be directed toward debt reduction. Number four, asset liquidation. Sell non-essential or underutilized assets to raise cash for debt repayment. Number five, leaseback arrangements. Consider selling assets to a third party and leasing them back. This can provide a lump sum to reduce debt while maintaining access to the assets. Number six, debt consolidation. Combine several loans or liabilities into one loan. This often results in a lower overall interest rate and can simplify the management of debt. Number seven, equity financing. Issue new shares to raise capital that can be used to pay down debt. This will dilute the current ownership, can improve the balance sheet. Number eight, working capital optimization. Manage receivables, inventory, and payables more effectively to free cash flow for debt service. Number nine, negotiate with creditors. Engage with your lenders to negotiate more favorable terms, such as extended payment periods or reduced interest rates. And number 10, balance sheet restructuring. This may involve spinning off divisions, merging with or acquiring other companies, or restructuring under bankruptcy protection if necessary. These are 10 strategies that are exhaustive, and you can surely find more. What's important is that a thorough evaluation takes place on how these initiatives can be executed and the impact can be expected for them. One global logistics company we work with was suffering from a high debt level driven by a past acquisition. The company was under pressure from the rating agencies to have their credit rating lowered, which would only increase their challenges. They had already tried most of the cost-cutting and working capital optimization strategies. In addition, they were continuously squeezing their vendors for every penny possible. Their challenges severely limited their investment potential. Eventually, they turned to asset liquidation by divesting some of their non-core activities and got an external boost from the pandemic, which led to skyrocketing freight rates. What's illustrative about this example is that you often need to activate a wider range of these strategies. Rarely is one or two enough, and it will be beneficial for CFOs to try institutionalize these strategies into the company's way of operating. In that way, this can become a source of competitive advantage in the long run, rather than just being a reactive strategy when the company is facing challenges. We'll move on to discuss the importance of resource reallocation. The point of reducing debt levels and improving productivity is to free resources, to enable the company to invest in growth. However, growth can come from simply reallocating resources to more promising business opportunities. McKinsey has identified that a company needs to reallocate 50% of its overall resources, measured as invested capital, over a decade to boost the odds of strategic success. You can consider this across multiple dimensions and at a macro level, e.g. business units, or micro level, being products and customers. This is very much linked to your company's where to play and how to win choices for your strategy. You need to ensure a hardcore prioritization of your strategic choices. If you're betting on a certain part of your product portfolio, you need to close or divest the other parts. If you find only certain customer segments to be attractive, you should stop servicing others or find very low cost to service models. The challenge that most companies face is that they spread their resources too thin. This results in promising business opportunities, suffocating, lack of resources, and poor opportunities, burning cash without any expected returns. It's a true lose-lose situation, underlining the criticality of resource allocation. Returning to the aforementioned logistics company, they made some hard choices at the macro level, deciding to divest half of its business over some years. In some ways, they were forced into making these decisions since most parts of their business required significant investments to become or remain competitive. There simply weren't enough resources to go around. Faced with the choice of continuously underperforming across all segments or betting big on a few of them, they chose the latter. According to Where to Play, How to Win and popular wisdom about strategies, this is the right choice. Whether you then succeed often comes down to your existing capabilities and how you execute, of course. Having freed significant resources, they could invest in their remaining product portfolio, which enabled them to differentiate themselves from competitors and significantly increase their sales force. Over a decade, they did in fact reallocate 50% of their invested capital into their focus areas. And it'll be interesting to follow how value creation will increase from their strategic choices in the coming years. Debt reduction, cost cutting, resource reallocation. Three core strategic levers in the CFO's back pocket. Now, we said in the beginning that it's time for CFOs to whip their companies into shape. So bringing out the whip, it may sound a bit negative, but I think you get the point. We have underlined the importance of bringing down the debt level and reallocating resources. Now it's time to get practical, where, as we said, bring out the whip. CFOs must assess the current shape of their company. Try answering these questions. What's our current debt level relative to our competitors? What's our investment capacity considering new debt opportunities? How has our productivity developed in recent years? How are we performing relative to our competitors on productivity? What can we learn from benchmarking productivity internally between similar units? Could be countries or products or customers even. Where's our invested capital tied up now? Do the highest ROI, return on investment opportunities, have sufficient funding? Have we actively reallocated capital in the past years? I'm sure that most companies don't have good answers to all these questions. So for you, as finance professionals, you can ask these questions as well. You can do the analysis. You can bring this forward to the CFO if you're not the CFO. And if you are the CFO, you can bring it forward to the management team. There are many appropriate actions to take. Answering these questions gives CFOs a good starting point for assessing the shape of their company. If your company is not in shape, now is the best time to bring out the whip and get in shape. Because we all know when times are good, no one cares about this. It's only when times are bad, which is also why we suggest institutionalizing some of these tactics. So it's just part of the way you work. If you are in shape, consider how to ensure your company stays fit. Only the CFO will pick up the slack here, but he will do the company great service in the long run to pay close attention to and act on its fitness. How fit is your company? And what, let's call it, fitness activities are you currently running? Are these run by the CFO? And is there buy-in across the organization on their importance? How are you ensuring your company's fitness in the long run? Let's know how you're whipping your company into shape and what you're doing with the freed up resources. Over the past few weeks, we have now covered how CFOs can show strategic leadership, how they can work with the 10 drivers of strategic value creation, looking at growth, costs, and the balance sheet. This is what CFOs should be driving. This is where CEOs are looking to their management team for someone to take the lead. And why not the CFO? On debt, cost, and whatnot, it's easy. But on growth, perhaps it's more difficult. So we truly hope that these strategies we have shared over the past weeks are helpful to shaping up your thoughts on how CFOs and finance in general can become more strategic. There's no doubt this is a significant requirement today. And CFOs are looking to, in particular, FP&A teams, but also other teams in finance, to help exercise this strategic leadership. This is also why these are at the top of the list of priorities for CFOs in 2024. In the coming weeks, we'll discuss different other, let's call it more trending topics like generative AI or talent retention or ESG. Topics like those can argue come and go, but strategic value creation should always be at the top of the CFO's agenda. I believe next week we will talk about generative AI, which obviously is also on the top of the CFO's list. You probably heard about the term CFOs needs to be co-drivers or co-pilots of the business. But now there's a new co-pilot in town. We'll discuss what that co-pilot can do for us and what this means for the future role of the CFO and the finance function. So hope to see you again next week. And until then, you can either find previous shows on your favorite podcast app, just search for hashtag Finance Master, or you can always reach out to me on LinkedIn. Bye for now, and see you next week.
You've been listening to hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?